This is Jim Inkster. Coming today, we will talk with Vince Insulaco. He's the chair of the Arkansas Democratic Party. He's not happy about Governor Jindal getting immersed in the U.S. Senate race in Arkansas, where the incumbent Democrat Mark Pryor faces a challenge from Republican Congressman Tom Cotton. Also on the show, Steve Arnold. He's trying to get Ben Carson, a Republican physician, African-American, with some controversial views to run for president of the United States. We'll discuss the prospective campaign of Dr. Carson. And Andy Anderson, the noted financial analyst on the market through the first half of the year, in today's jobs report. All this, now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number, and outside our area, please call 877-217-5757. Inkstershow@WRKF.org online. Our leadoff guest is Vince Insulaco. He's the chair of the Arkansas Democratic Party, the pride of North Little Rock, Arkansas. Graduated from North Little Rock High, class of 1970, 1 year ahead of the fabulous actress Mary Steenburgen. But Vince, I know you're proud of where you grew up, but you're here to talk some politics with us. And Governor Jindal has inserted himself in the Arkansas Senate race, which, like the one in Louisiana, is going to be close, presumably, and involves an incumbent Democrat, Mark Pryor, going against a Republican congressman who is a challenger in Tom Cotton. And Governor Jindal is trying to get the good people of Arkansas to vote for Congressman Cotton. What do you think?
Well, good morning, Jim. It's really nice. Thank you very much for having me on the show. You know, I don't want to be presumptuous about injecting myself in Louisiana politics, but since the governor did, I'm happy to share my thoughts. You know, Arkansas and Louisiana have a lot in common. We obviously are sister states. We're border states. And we share, particularly South Arkansas, shares a lot of common heritage with Northern Louisiana. you know, I was kind of surprised that Governor Jindal had endorsed Cotton. You know, Tom Cotton has become an incredibly controversial extremist figure, and he, you know, I'm not sure why he would have endorsed a candidate that voted against disaster aid, which, of course, Louisiana is famous for have needing and been the recipient of during hurricanes. In Arkansas, we may not have hurricanes, but we sure have a lot of tornadoes. And we believe very strongly that we need the help of our neighbors and our churches, but we also need the help of the government for folks in need. So, I mean, just that alone to me would have been an issue that I would have thought Governor Jindal would want to stay away from, considering the recent years and the recent history of Louisiana. I mean, that's certainly one thing. You know, Louisiana is a big farm state, and, you know, Tom Cotton voted against the farm bill. There's, you know, Louisiana has its own share of agricultural jobs, and I'm not really sure why he would have opposed, you know, been for somebody who opposes the farm bill. I don't know why he would be for somebody who voted against the Violence Against Women Act. I mean, you know,
you're making some good points, but I'm sure the governor, if he were here, he would say he can't understand why you would be for somebody who voted for Obamacare.
Well, you know, here in Arkansas, we have become a national model through the private option, and, you know, Governor Jindal, along with other extremists, have talked about how it's unworkable. And yet here in Arkansas, we have got close to 200,000 people now in the private option that have now got health insurance that did not have it before. And these are folks that, you know, I mean, what it comes down to is, even if you don't think it's morally the correct thing, economically, you know, would you rather pay somebody's $300 a month health premium, or would you rather pay a $25,000 hospital stay? You know, emergency room visits are down 24% here in Arkansas. It is an extraordinarily workable thing that's happening here. I'm sure you've read about it. I'm sure Governor Dingell's read about it, and it's been national news all over the country. In fact, I think Bobby called Governor Beebe to discuss the, you know, how the plan was going here in Arkansas. So I'm just not sure that here in Arkansas we think that we think the private option is doing really well, and frankly, it's got some, its approval ratings are growing every day here. Right. So. You know, obviously, Senator Pryor was very helpful with that.
297-5633 for Vince Insulaco in our time with him. He is the chair of the Arkansas Democratic Party. And for years, like Louisiana, Arkansas was a Democratic stronghold. And unlike other states in the South, the Democratic Party still has some viability in Arkansas. There is a Democratic governor, at least for now, and there is a Democratic U.S. senator, just like there is in Louisiana, Mark Pryor, who's battling for his political life against a congressman, Tom Cotton, who is supported by Governor Bobby Jindal. Why do you think your state, and ours for that matter, why do you think they have gone from solid blue states to mostly red states?
You know, first of all, I can only speak to Arkansas. Arkansas has absolutely not gone mostly red, and we hear that a lot. We're really, first of all, our governor is probably in the top five most popular governors in the country. Of course, he's a Democrat. U.S. Senator Mark Pryor is a Democrat. And you know, our House chamber is evenly split at 51-49. We have four of the seven constitutional officers that are Democrats. So, if you go around on the local level, we have most of the counties, or at least I think two-thirds of the counties still have Democratic leaders and either judges or sheriffs. And I mean, so when people say we're mostly a red state, that's just simply not true. And I just think it's a perception because we tend to be lumped in with the rest of the South. And Arkansas... folks in Arkansas have always been fiercely independent. I love to talk about 1968 when in that one year we elected a Republican governor, Winthrop Rockefeller, and a Democratic senator and Bill Fulbright, and George Wallace is for president. So, we've been in the same ticket. I don't think Arkansans have varied from that very much. I think 40% of us are Democrats and 35 or 38% are Republicans, and I think the rest are strong, fierce independents, and they're the ones who are usually deciding the elections. And I think some years they vote Republican and some years they vote Democrat. And it's happened before, and it could happen again.
Fair to say, Vince, that many in Arkansas were disappointed that Barack Obama defeated Hillary Clinton in 2008?
Well, sure. That's like asking me that, were we upset when Texas beat Arkansas when we used to play them in football? So, we love the Clintons in Arkansas, and she was our first lady for a number of years, and we love her a lot. And I frankly was on the road for Hillary when she ran for president, as I did for President Clinton when he ran. They're beloved figures here in Arkansas. So, I think that's a fair assessment. Yes.
Okay, and that I'm sure has much to do with some Republican gains. Although you make a good case that Arkansas certainly is not as red as Louisiana. In fact, you might even call it slightly blue. But nonetheless, I think you would concede that Mark Pryor is in for a tough reelection fight.
Of course, Mr. Cotton. They've already spent 13. You know, I think what's amazing about Arkansas and Arkansans is that they have spent $13 million. You know, that might not sound like a lot of money to some folks, but here in Arkansas, that is a huge sum of money to be spent in politics. I mean, we are 4 months before the election, and they have already spent on with various outside interests $13 million trying to hit Senator Pryor on all sorts of issues, and yet Mark still leads in the polls, and he hasn't spent anywhere near that sum of money to defend himself, and I think that is a strong statement about that independent vote that is looking at, beginning to seriously look at, who is Tom Cotton, And, you know, I was really surprised when Jingle endorsed him because, you know, I mean, I can just go through a litany of things that even the simplest of things, you know, we have a minimum wage campaign going on here in Arkansas right now. We hope to get it on the ballot. In fact, I think they're going to turn the signatures in today or tomorrow. And, you know, to raise our minimum wage from $6.25 an hour over 3 years to a modest $8.50. And, of course, Senator Pryor has led the charge on that. And, of course, Tom Cotton has come out against it. And I'm not sure, you know, something as simple as that, something as simple as the Violence Against Women's Act. He was against his own Republican version of the Violence Against Women's Act. So I think Governor Jingle was I'm not really sure what he was doing when he endorsed Tom Cotton. I don't know.
All right, hold tight. 297-5633. And it's Governor Jindal, not Jingle. Jindal. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on with Vince Insulaco, chair of the Arkansas Democratic Party.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, I personally have named the governor Jindal Walkie after the Jabberwocky because he goes snicker snack, snicker snack. In any case, my question for you, sir, is since the Citizens United decision and the Supreme Court, which is pretty much a corporate Supreme Court, the influence of money in politics has really skyrocketed. What is your stand on that? And I know that there is a counter movement. I think Mr. Lessig, Lawrence Lessig, is leading a super PAC to get a constitutional amendment to reverse that. Could you speak to that?
Sure. I think that we have seen now when I answer these questions, I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I don't the prior campaign. I believe very strongly that the Supreme Court decision was wrong. I think it had intentions they did not, consequences that they did not intend for it to have. And one of them was the influence, for example, of the Koch brothers, who have just spent literally hundreds of millions of dollars trying to influence, you know, for example, here in Arkansas, you have these interests. You know, why would somebody sitting in New York care who the state representative is from El Dorado, Arkansas, or Malvern, Arkansas? I mean, they have spent so much money, and that's been the consequences of that decision. And you have literally these PACs being set up as nonprofits that don't have to report their sources of income. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think it is to the detriment of the whole political process. I mean, I also believe that it has literally turned people off to the process by seeing all that negativity and the amounts of money that's being spent. And I don't know what the solution is, since the top court in the land has said that that's okay. I mean, they basically made companies into people, and I'm sure you've heard that before. I don't think when they made that decision, it's hard for me to think that they believed that it would have the consequences that it's had on the process, not just here in Arkansas, but throughout the country.
297-5633. We'll spend a few more minutes with Vince Insulaco, fine gentleman who's chair of the Arkansas Democratic Party. And I don't think there's any secret to the fact that you're very close to the former president and perhaps the future president. Do you think Hillary's running?
Having been through several presidential campaigns, several gubernatorial campaigns, several senatorial and congressional and so forth, I can tell you that it may appear that she's running, but I take her at her word when she says she's not made a final decision. You know, 6 months, 8 months, it is an unbelievable decision. I can tell you, I know what it's like running for governor or senator here in Arkansas. The stress is pretty amazing, and she knows what. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm getting some background there.
We're going to a break, but hold that thought. We'll return with Vince Insulaco, who's been kind enough to stay with us for a few minutes into overtime. 297-5633 is your number. We shall return after this 90-second pause on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. A few more minutes with Vincent Sulaco, the chair of the Arkansas Democratic Party, not happy about Bobby Jindal, our governor, getting involved in an Arkansas senatorial race as he is backing Republican Congressman Tom Cotton against the incumbent Democrat Mark Pryor. Also, before Vince leaves, we'll ask him about former governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee, yesterday endorsed Bill Cassidy against Senator Landry. Ellen in Sherwood, please be brief, Ellen. You're on with Vince and Sulaco. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Well, thank you for having this guest on, because what he's telling us is very enlightening. It sounds like Mark Pryor is really working for the people of Arkansas, and Tom Cotton and Bobby Jindal are working for the Koch brothers, basically. They support their ideology 100%. And they're anti-people. They're anti-people. They're anti-public education.
Okay, is there a question here?
My question is, I don't understand why don't more people understand this, and why are people supporting people like Bobby Jindal and Tom Cotton?
All right, thank you, Ellen. I don't think Vince is going to disagree with you. You're probably preaching to the choir, but Vince, if there was ever a softball, you just got it.
Well, that's true, and I appreciate it. Was she from Sherwood, Louisiana, or Sherwood, Arkansas?
She's from Sherwood Forest, and I know Sherwood, Arkansas is right outside of beautiful North Little Rock.
That's exactly right. I think a lot of that has to do with the former questioners, the former caller's question about money. I mean, people can get very confused by what they see on television. And when you just have the amounts of money being spent trying to persuade voters on and appealing to people, sometimes their worst fears. It's easy to tell. I think it's unfair to think. I don't think people are simpletons. I think they hear a lot of stuff and it makes them very confused. I do think if folks were to really find out what facts are, that both of these guys are for privatizing Medicare and raising Social Security age to 70 and, you know, being against disaster aid and that kind of thing. I think if they were to find out those things and learn the consequences of those things, I don't think they'd be for them.
297-5633. We're going to wrap it up with Vincent Sulaco here in just a moment. But as stated, I wanted to get your take, Vince, on your former governor, Mike Huckabee, getting involved in a race as well. He's doing what Governor Jindal has done. He's endorsing Congressman Cassidy against Senator Landrieu here in Louisiana, and it's a case of a Republican backing another Republican. But what do you think of Mike Huckabee doing this?
Well, two things. First, Governor Huckabee left Arkansas several years ago. He lives in Florida now. And in fact, he used to be my neighbor. He literally lived up the street from me. And I should, in all fairness, tell you I managed a campaign to try to unseat him, and we nearly did that in 2002. So he's not a fan of mine, and I'm not a fan of his. So having said that, I'm not surprised. You know, if you remember what he did last year about his real insulting, condescending comment about women and them not being able to control their libidos, I would have been, if I was Mary Landrieu, I'd sort of sock it to him on that issue right there.
Obviously, you're no fan of the former governor who might be running for president.
You know, people around Arkansas talk about that, you know, that kind of matchup about Hillary versus Mike. And, you know, I don't want to see that happen because I would hate to put I know what that would do to so many people. You know, folks in Arkansas take their politics very personally. It's not like a big state, you know, and there's a lot of people who know both of them and know both of them well, and I don't think they'd want to put them in a position to choose. So I personally hope it doesn't happen. It would put an enormous amount of attention on Arkansas, that's for sure, though.
Well, Hillary has made a lot of money selling books, and Governor Huckabee has made a lot of money being Mike Huckabee.
He sure has.
You got to take your hat off to him on that
score. That's right.
Okay. Well, thank you, Vincent Sulaco. You're a delight to talk with. And Huckabee lived down the street from you in North Little Rock?
He, He literally lived about a block down the street from me. We lived on the same street. Absolutely. Sure.
Wow.
Did
you exchange pleasantries and, you know, have barbecues?
Not very often. Not very often. He when we finished up that campaign, we certainly were totally civil to each other. But I did manage the campaign to try to unseat him when he was governor. So he was very happy with me about that.
Well, you may have caused him to move to Florida.
That's right.
All right. Well, take care, Vince.
Good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me. See you soon. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. 297-5633. We're joined now by Steve Arnold, who is based in North Carolina, but is in Baton Rouge, I think, today, as a person who is at the forefront of the Draft Ben Carson for President movement. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing well. What's going on in Baton Rouge today to try to get Benjamin Solomon Carson on the ballot as President of the United States?
Benjamin Solomon. I like that. Very few people know what his middle name is. I am actually still in North Carolina. The national political director, Vernon Robinson, is going to be in Baton Rouge. And he's going to be there at 12 o'clock at the Louisiana GOP headquarters and give a briefing on what's going on with the National Draft Ben Carson for President Committee. And it's going to be exciting. Just wanted folks to know about it.
Well, the Republican Party headquarters is almost a stone's throw from the Capitol, and Governor Jindal is running for president, and I would think the Louisiana GOP would be behind him. Why are you trying to get Ben Carson to be the next leader of the free world?
We need a candidate who can compete against Hillary Clinton. Now, there are a number of candidates, and we don't know. I don't know that Jindal has come out and officially said that he's going to be a candidate. I think there are a number, probably you could probably name 15 or 20 folks that are thinking about it and mulling the possibilities and looking at fundraising opportunities and seeing where their support lies. I the Republicans have a pretty deep bench. But I think that what we need is a constitutional conservative who is prepared to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. We have an out-of-control administration now, an imperial president who needs to be impeached, but we have a Congress who refuses to do its duty.
Needs to be impeached. Why should we impeach Barack Hussein Obama? What has he done to deserve that?
He has committed high crimes and misdemeanors, and our Constitution provides very simply and very clearly an opportunity to rein in an out-of-control chief executive. And our Constitution provides for the method of impeachment. And the House impeaches, the Senate tries, and there's a lot of folks that say, oh, yes, if the House under Republican control did impeach President Obama, then the Senate would, of course, sit on their hands, do nothing about it. That means nothing, because what's important is to educate the public and to really take it to Obama. He is clearly operating outside of his scope as president. Even yesterday, he made claim to the fact that he wanted to act. He said something to extent that middle-class America needed somebody to do stuff. That was his quote.
All right. Well, he's not going to be on the ballot in 2016. We know that, whether you impeach him or not. Ben Carson.
He is not. But what we.
All right. Well, Ben Carson. Let's get to Ben Carson. He's an African American and a skilled neurosurgeon. Apparently,
absolutely,
a great neurosurgeon. But he has said some rather inflammatory things over the last few years, and you must really like what he's saying, but some folks say, hey, you know, this guy's not in the mainstream of political thought. But what is it about Carson that you like, say, better than Bobby Jindal?
Well, I would hate to make the comparison. I, in North Carolina, have always been a big fan of Bobby Jindal. I think he is a great American, fantastic governor in Louisiana, and I've been watching him for many years, even when he was in Congress, and I thought that Bobby Jindal, and still think that Bobby Jindal is a great fella. There are a lot of good candidates out there. what is needed, I think, is something a little beyond the norm. Normally, you have politicians kind of rise up through the ranks and become a governor or a senator, and then look in the mirror and think, this is the next presidential candidate here. And what we need is instead someone focused on the welfare of the nation. And I think that Ben Carson comes out very, very well on that. Because
all right, hold tight. We want to get to some people who are waiting in line. You've got him fired up. Steve Arnold, who's at the forefront of the Draft Ben Carson for President movement. And today, this group will be at the Republican Party headquarters downtown at noon to express their devotion to Dr. Benjamin Solomon Carson. Charles on North Foster. Good morning, Charles. You're on with Steve.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning to your guests. I'm familiar with Dr. Ben Carson. He has gifted hands, but I can't say the same thing about his mind. My question to your guest is, if you're going to support impeaching President Obama, where were you when George Bush killed 4,000 Americans and wounded many, many more with a lie about Iraq? And I'll hang up and listen to him squirm on that.
Oh, I don't know if you can hear squirming on the radio, my friend, but listen, we have had mediocrity in the White House for many, many years. I will be the first to admit that. What I want to see is excellence. And Ben Carson is someone who in his life has achieved that level of excellence that we need to find in the White House. We have had people, and I will admit, I probably shouldn't do this by virtue of my position, but I will admit that we have had, as I say before, mediocrity in the White House for many years. But I will, in fact, I would go back as far as Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was the last real statesman that we had in the White House. Since then, it's been mediocrities. What we need, because of the state of the nation right now, $17 trillion in debt, over $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities. We have Obamacare, which is all about power over your life.
All right, Dan downtown. Dan, you're on with Steve Arnold. Hi, Dan.
Yes, were you for the impeachment of your favorite statesman, Ronald Reagan, during the middle of the Iran-Contra affair?
All right. What about Iran-Contra? Let's go back a few years, an oldie but goldie. Did Reagan deserve to be impeached?
Of course not. Of course not. Obama deserves to be impeached because he has usurped the powers that are not granted to him under the Constitution. The Constitution allows for powers, and it is called enumerated powers, and Congress has enumerated powers, and indeed the president has powers that are given by the Constitution, and Obama has stepped beyond that in so very many different ways.
All right.
And he has often said that if Congress doesn't act, then I'm going to act, and I've got a pen, and I've got a phone, and I'm going to act.
Why does Ben Carson need to be drafted? Why does he need to be drafted? He's a big man. He can think for himself. Why does he need people like you to coax him to run?
Well, because that's the way the process works. He needs to have what he has called clamoring, and he has looked. And I encourage people to go to runbenrun.org because he has encouraged people to clamor. Now, obviously, this committee is not in coordination with Dr. Carson at all. But I would suggest to you that as far as the Barry Goldwater era, Goldwater had people that were disassociated from him, but still encouraging him to run. And for instance, in the state of South Carolina, there was a South Carolina Party chairman. There were other South Carolina leaders of import. And these people encouraged Barry Goldwater to think on a national level and to become a national candidate. And Goldwater in 1960 was not thinking to himself about being a national candidate at all. But by 1961, 62, because of the efforts of others,
he started to think that this might be something that he needed to consider strongly because the American people were...
I got you. Ben Carson, who's a graduate of Yale and the University of Michigan and has been a fabulous neurosurgeon at Johns Hopkins. He has written 6 books. He's a staunch Republican. But here's one of his statements that he will be held accountable for if he does run, as you want him to. And he made this to none other than Sean Hannity. He says, marriage is between a man and a woman. No group, be they gays, be they NAMBLA, be they people who believe in bestiality, it doesn't matter what they are, they don't get to change the definition. So he is against same-sex marriage and sounds like he would put the power of the presidency behind his position. You're okay with that?
The problem with that statement is what? I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure. Yes, traditional marriage is something that most Americans agree with. And I think that, again, Ben Carson is not about making the federal government the arbiter of everything in our nation. We have a constitution which provides for powers for the 3 branches of government. The constitution also provides for powers for the states.
Doug on Segan. Doug, you're on with Steve Arnold. Hi, Doug.
Yes, good morning. You know, with some of the, I felt a need to kind of talk about some of the numbers that are often thrown around. You know, the $17 trillion debt is one that everyone agrees is getting too big, but, you know, it's...
All right, what's your question?
$3 trillion a year, Doug? Federal budget, that's about 5.5 years worth. $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities means all the bills that we'll have to pay over the next, 50 years? But we can't pay them all now, but you can't pay your mortgage now either. If you're going by that approach, you're bankrupt if you have a mortgage or a car note that you cannot pay off right now.
All right. Is that a good point? We have personal debts that often exceed our resources or our net worth.
Of course we do.
Well, then we're in debt.
The personal debt would be you know, comparable to the fiscal liabilities, and that's the $17.5 trillion. The unfunded liabilities have to do with, for instance, unfunded pensions, for which the federal government not put any dollars into the pension fund, which it's going to need to do in order to pay pensions to federal employees who are retiring, those kind of things. So those are off of the books liabilities, which are going to come due, and I will maintain they're going to come due way before 50 years, and the nation can't do it. There's no more money. And so, and we've got this perpetual Obama economy going on where there has not been real end to the recession. The recession seems to be perpetual.
We'll be back to wrap it up with Steve Arnold and hear from the well-known and well-versed financial analyst Andy Anderson, who will recap the first year of the first half of the year with the stock market and today's jobs report after this 90-second pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, and we're about to get to Andy Anderson, but we're wrapping it up with Steve Arnold, who's part of the Draft Ben Carson for President movement. Today, that organization, if you will be gathering at the Republican Party headquarters in Baton Rouge to coax, in hopes of coaxing, Dr. Carson into running for president. The Dow, by the way, just hit 17,000, new record. Do you think the president gets any credit for that, Steve Arnold?
Well, thanks, Jim. I want to really thank you for allowing me to be on your show. I know you have a lot of folks listening. And, to the extent that the Fed is pumping up the money supply and therefore pumping up the stock market, of course, he gets plenty of credit. But I wanted to encourage folks to go to runbenrun.org. The important thing that we are trying to accomplish is to get as many people to sign the petition to encourage Ben Carson to run.
Okay,
runbenrun.org.
And today, if you want to go to the Republican Party headquarters right by the Capitol, then
at 12 o'clock.
At 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock noon.
Another question from a listener, and I'm looking back, and sure enough, in 2006, Ben Carson said in a debate, "I don't believe in evolution." That's a direct quote.
Right.
You're okay with that one?
You know, I think the Republican Party is a pretty big tent. There's a lot of folks with lots of different ideas and lots of and lots of positions on various issues. It doesn't matter. In fact, I am a creationist as well, and I'm glad to hear that Ben Carson has said that. But that being said, what our nation needs is a staunch conservative constitutionalist who will preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, and who will work towards a limited government so that we can maximize personal freedom. And that, I think, is what the Ben Carson draft Ben Carson movement is all about. And I encourage people, again, to help us keep moving toward the goal. And Vernon Robinson will be at the GOP headquarters on Lakeland Drive at 12 p.m.
All right.
And he'll all.
All right. We got to roll. But thank you so much, Steve Arnold. And right there on that street is where Dr. Carl Austin Weiss lived, I believe, the man who shot Huey Long in 1935. 297-5633 is your number. Andy Anderson in-house, the financial analyst, who has been doing well this year, as have most people who've been invested in the stock market. Started like it was going to be a rough year in 2014. But today, as you speak, Andy with a magic touch, he walks in the studio and the Dow shoots above 17,000 for the first time. What's going on?
Hallelujah. We're in a bull market, Jim. This bull market got started for really the growth side of the equation around 2012. Now, remember now, bull markets are 10 to 20 year phenomenons, and this is my last bull market. I've experienced a bull market that started in 1982. I started in the business in 1976. The Dow was at 600. I've watched this thing go up 17,000 points, and I just can't understand all the fear out there. I can't. It's the best deal since sliced bread.
But you've had good years and bad years.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's the part of the game. That's what makes markets.
Well, you're feeling the joy right now.
Oh, yeah.
And feeling the love, but if the market were down, I don't think you'd be quite as effusive in your joy.
Look, I've always preached that you should make this a way of life. This is something my grandfather taught me to do. It's something my father taught me to do. If my father would not have invested in the stock market, my mother would have been destitute. So, I mean, I'm just letting you know that it's the stock market is an excellent place for people to learn about, and that's what I'm about. I'm all about education. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been very good for Andy Anderson and many of his clients. And you recently hit that magic mark for your IRA, right? When you turn, what is it?
59 and a half. Right. Now I can pull out of it.
So what happens when you hit 59 and a half and you got a few thousand dollars in an IRA that you'd like to get your money on without being hit with a huge tax?
Well, the IRA or the retirement plan, there's many forms of retirement plans out there, are the best way to invest. There's no getting around. It's a great deal. Because if you go back and study the 1920s, you know, the Joe Kennedys, the Bernard Baruchs, the Jesse Livermores, they all made a fortune in the stock market. They didn't pay any taxes back then. So I would say that a retirement plan, you should maximize your contributions. You should hold off withdrawing out of it. You have to start pulling out at age 70 and a half. But I think a retirement plan, especially an IRA, that's the way to go. It's a great deal.
All right, 297-5633. Andy, this year and last, has been quite bullish on Tesla, and he's watched as that stock has gone through the roof, and it has moved around quite a bit, too. It's gone up and down and back up, and today it's down as it was yesterday, 225 down, despite the market going up today, by almost 2%. What's going on with Tesla?
Well, I've got a report here for you, Jim, that you might want to read when you have time. It's probably one of the most important reports I've read in a long time. It's issued by a company called Barclays. The analyst is saying that he is downgrading the electric utility industry. And the reason he's doing that is that because of Tesla and because of the expansion of battery production, we've seen the cost of a battery that can run a residential home go from $17,000 down to $3,700 since 2009, and those prices are going to continue to drop. Now, what's starting to happen, and this is happening in California, people are getting off the grid. And what they're doing is it's called solar plus storage, which is where you can put a solar panels on your roof. You can charge a battery pack that this is the solution to solar, because the problem is, what if the sun's not shining when you need the power? Well, if you're charging a battery pack that can run your house for 5 days.
Where's the stock going? Is it going back up?
This thing looks so much like Apple, it's scary. I mean, you've got Elon Musk in there, which is a Steven Jobs type. You've got a technology that, okay, well, we all know about the automobile, that's fine, but we all knew about the iPod too, that was fine, but we didn't know that Apple was going to go to an iPhone and dominate the phone industry. I believe that Tesla, I'm hopeful that this is going to be one of the best investments I've ever made in my career.
All right, well, Apple, you had a good ride with Apple, and then you got out, and you were kind of half right. When it was 400, I bought some, and you told me I was making a mistake, and it's gone up. So how long can Apple sustain it? It's now back to where it almost was.
Okay, let's just do a little real quick comparison here. This current year for Apple, earnings are going to be up 11%.
Mm-hmm.
Tesla's earnings this year are going to be up 51%.
Okay, but Apple's worth $563 billion, and Tesla as a company is worth $27 billion,
yeah,
$28 billion.
That's right. I mean, could it become a $500 billion company? That's the question. Last time we were here, we talked about Walmart. You know, you found Walmart early. Boy, it sure changed your life. It sure would mm-hmm. improve things. So what I'm saying is that with Apple, yes, it's a great company, but as far as an investment for me, now look, in the last bull market, my portfolio and my clients' portfolios climbed tenfold. We have a model portfolio. We started at $2 million. It got up to $26 million in the last bull market. Now, we just finished a 12-year bear market. So what I'm telling people is you better make hay while the sun shines, especially if you're in your 60s like me. This is your last bull market. This is it. So if you want to mess around with companies that are going to grow 5%, 8%, something like that, which would be like a Coca-Cola or a McDonald's or something like that that pays a dividend, fine. But I'm not doing that because I want to make 10 times my money.
I've got a question from a listener, and it's related to our earlier discussion about the Dow going above 17,000 today. I think it was around 7,500 when President Obama took office. The question is, why do Democrats not take more credit for this?
Well, you know, I just kind of think it's beyond explanation as to why does the market do better under Democratic administrations. The way I look at it is this. I'm a Keynesian. I believe in the velocity of money. So did Sam Walton. I mean, Sam Walton was a big velocity guy. So what that means is that if you can get more money into more people's hands, meaning the masses, the economy does better. Whereas with under Republican administrations, it tends to get we got a 1% thing here, and I'm just saying that we need velocity of money. We need to, in my opinion, I think we need to raise taxes, but that's another story for another time.
All right, 297-5633 for financial advisor Andy Anderson in the latest Money Manager Review for the first quarter of 2014.
Right, right.
We just turned it in second quarter.
But
I guess it takes a while to rate these firms, but nationally his is ranked third as far as growth for this year, and I'm looking. Is that 38%?
Yeah, we're up 38% for the last 12 months.
For the last 12 months.
As of end of first quarter. Now, second quarter, we were flat. So we're up 38% as of now for the last 12 months.
What's been the biggest catalyst? What stocks are you in that are moving rapidly forward?
Well, we've done real well with Facebook. Facebook has been one of our big winners. We also landed into a pharmaceutical company called Salix Pharmaceuticals, which is doing extremely well. We're back in China. We've got 10% of the portfolio in China. China's doing much better. Also, we're doing real well with anything to do with fracking and horizontal drilling. We've got two positions there.
Now, I'm looking also at this report, Andy, and it says as far as risk, you're at 32%, which is higher than any company listed.
Yeah.
So you're into high risk investing.
Absolutely.
You ever go to Las Vegas, Andy?
Sure. Listen, if you think you're going to make the kind of money you need to make to retire on a low risk guaranteed deal, well, I wish you a lot of luck. But I know what my situation is, and I know what the situation is for a lot of people. I've never lost money in the stock market. Yeah, my portfolio is volatile, but I've never lost money. I've never gone below what I originally started with.
All right.
What I'm saying is I think this fear of the stock market, people need to get over it. They better get over it because you're at 0% interest rates on your CDs, roughly, and the inflation rate's probably 2%. You need to get just realizing you've got to speculate. There's no getting around it.
Well, to give you an idea, Andy's third nationally in this report for the first quarter, 38.58% growth for the last year. But as far as risk, his portfolio is more than two times riskier than anyone else listed. So Andy is a guy who goes for the gold, and there can be a big plus to that, but of course there can be a huge downfall if you don't hit it right.
Sure.
Okay, Charlotte in New Iberia. Charlotte, you're on the air with Andy Anderson. Hi, Charlotte.
Good morning to you all. I'm calling because your guest, Andy, mentioned that if a person found Walmart early, they would have done well, and they would have found Walmart early at a low price. How does a person, or what metric does a person use to find a reasonably priced stock that will perform well for them?
All right. So, it gets back to what you just said about Apple. Yeah. Sometimes you get in and the big gains have already taken place.
I would tell you the most important thing to do, and it's on my webpage if you go there, bfanderson.com. I'll give a little pitch there. I have a reading list. I really recommend that you educate yourself. People like Peter Lynch, Warren Buffett, Sir John Templeton, on and on and on. There's books on that webpage that you should read. And if you read these books, you're going to find out that the backbone of a good investment is a company that grows its earnings. Walmart grew its earnings for 20 years, 28% a year for 20 years. That's what made that stock work.
Okay, a few questions. Last time you were here, you mentioned Michael Kors. I knew this company only as a maker of men's underwear. They're into a lot of other things, but how's that stock doing?
We sold Michael Kors.
Okay, so you're out of that.
We're out of that.
Okay. Another question about the recent controversy about CB&I. Stock went down after a local analyst here, Pandit, a guy we know well, Iyad Esbahi. What's going on with that company?
Well, I mean, I'm by no means an expert on Chicago Bridge and Iron. We're talking about a construction company. It's not really the kind of thing.
Which used to be the Shaw Group.
It's just not what I'm really looking for. I mean, if I'll put it this way, if nuclear takes off, they will do well.
Okay, but can stocks be manipulated by people saying bad things about them in public forums like this?
Not in the long run.
But in the short run.
In the short run.
And if you're selling short.
Right.
So, example, you could pan a stock on this show today
and
then go sell short, and there's nothing illegal about that.
I think it should be.
But there isn't.
I think it's wrong.
I don't think you would do that.
No.
But you could.
Look, I brought with me something just because we're celebrating the country's birthday tomorrow. This is an agreement that was signed on May 7th, 1792. This is called the Buttonwood Agreement, and this is where the New York Stock Exchange was formed. And it was actually a coffee shop. They've met under a tree, but they would go to a place called the Tontine Coffee Shop. And you actually purchased a seat in the coffee shop. And the point is that these guys were 24 brokers. The original concept here was, let's put together capitalists with entrepreneurs. That's what this is all about. And so what happens with Wall Street is they keep reinventing themselves with all these crazy ideas like options and, you know, margin. Look what happened to margin back in the 20s.
We're short on time, Andy, but the reason the market is presumably up today is the jobs report showing
excellent.
A gain of 288,000 jobs last month. How important is this figure?
Oh, very important. I mean, we're going to the big fear that I have for investors out there, the ones that have sought out these high dividend paying stocks, are going to have a tough time if interest rates start going up. That's going to really work against them. So just be aware of the fact that, you know, the economy's picking up steam here. That means probably means higher interest rates around the road.
All right. The unemployment rate fell to 6.1 in June, lowest level since September of 2008. So, and George Bush, of course, was president at that time. Andy, it's always good. Let's do this again very soon. And
see you next
congratulations
quarter.
On, congratulations on your success. And we'll be back tomorrow on the 4th of July. Until then, for Frank Barnett, I'm Jim Engster. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.